340 of the Washed Up Walk-Ons in the ever-growing landscape, the brand new landscape of college athletes making money off of their name, image, and likeness. It can get crazy. Iowa needed somebody to step up to be able to compete with the SEC and everybody else around the country. Brad Heinrichs is that guy. Welcome to the Swarm Collective. Let's have a day. Let's go. Walk-Ons fans, episode 340 of this here podcast. And today we've got on a really cool guest that we're happy to have with us, Brad Heinrichs, who, from what I understand, was a golfer at the University of Iowa back in the 90s, which Kevin and I are both quite jealous about, because I know that I can say for a fact that you got to play what I wish I was doing in college. I don't know if Kevin would have chose football over golf, but that's what we did in our free times when we had time away from the hell that we called college athletics. So with that being said, also the founder of the Swarm Collective, which I'm pretty excited to learn about because I'm so out of touch with everything that doesn't involve mixed martial arts and this podcast. So Brad, welcome to the Wash Up Walk-Ons, and I'm excited to hear about what you got going on, pal.
Hey, thanks. It's great to be here with you guys. I haven't listened to 339 episodes, but I have listened to several of your podcasts. You guys have kept me company on many a long drive. So it's great to meet you guys virtually and talk a little bit about the Swarm Collective.
Oh, man.
Always good to meet former Hawks. And I guess one of the first questions I have for you guys is, which is least prestigious, being a student athlete on scholarship on the golf team or being a walk-on on the football team?
Walk-ons on the football team are a dime a dozen, man.
Well, I don't know. You get all the cool stuff. Getting to play in Kinnick, come on. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but have you ever heard of CTE?
I've heard of it. I have heard of it.
That's one of those cool collectibles that they send you home with.
Well, yeah, the permanent souvenir.
Yeah.
Let's just say that 70,000 people never showed up to our golf tournaments. So
that would be sick, though.
I still think you got me beat.
I tell you what, Brad, 70,000 people have never watched me play golf either, and I've had a whole lot more fun on the golf course than on the football field.
Well, they won't. They don't let you. Well, we couldn't drink during college, but that's the best part about golf is that you play it for a lifetime and enjoy an adult beverage while you do it.
Brad, how's the game? Like, how are you swinging it these days?
Well, I would consider myself to be a washed up golfer at this point. I don't play competitively anymore. I think my handicap's a 2, so I pretty much suck at this level.
2 is pretty good, man.
I have teenage boys. I've got a company that I run, and now I guess I was bored and now I'm doing this other thing on the side. So, not a lot of time to play golf.
Well, I am interested in that because that was one of my questions was the limited research that I do for this podcast. I see that you run an actuarial firm or something like that, something way over my head.
So
the fact that you decided to jump into the Swarm Collective is mind-boggling to me. But I was going to say, if you want to play in front of 70,000 people, the LIV Tour, the LIV Tour, might be looking for people.
If they offered me $100 million like they seem to be offering other guys, to go, the other washed-up golfers to go play, I'm in. Unfortunately, I was never as good as they were in their prime. So
you see, they allegedly offered Tiger $700 million.
I did see that. But when you've already got $700 million, what's another 700?
I mean, it's still 700, though, right?
It's still 700, right?
So much.
Yeah, it doesn't
Brad,
suck.
You might be interested in retaining your services. We run an LLC here, and only one of us has access to the books, so we might need you to take a look and make sure it clears.
From us, right? Because we're pretty sure the books aren't tip top.
And well, we're pretty sure something's off.
Money's being fishy
over there. You know, I like to tell people I would have been an accountant, but I couldn't handle all the excitement, so I became an actuary. So anyway, but you probably don't want to talk about actuarial work here on this podcast, because I would imagine everybody would be tuning out quickly.
You would be surprised at the conversations and topics we went over in the last couple months as we were in the dry season of football. And let's just say thank the calendar that we are coming back around here, and we're about a little less than a month out. But let's dive into this. NIL, it comes out, the rumblings start to happen. I don't know how keyed in it you are at this point. This would be 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. You know, things are going to fall. The NCAA is going to lose power here. This is on its way to happening. Then, about 13, 14 months ago, the rule actually goes into effect. Okay, guys can make money from NIL. You're sitting down there in Fort Myers, Florida, correct?
That's right. Yep. I host all of the Iowans when they come down in the winter to get out of the cold at my golf course. That's essentially my role, or has been my historic role.
Well, Kevin and Drake, I know, would love to come and
come on down, boys.
Yeah. And so this happens, and you think to your, what's going on in your mind? Where does this thought process start?
I thought it was inevitable, right? It's hard to prevent people from earning a living. I remember when I was in school, I was on 60% scholarship, and my parents were little teachers. I didn't really come from, you know, I wasn't the rich country club kid. And I remember thinking, well, you know, I'd love to be able to go out and have a second job or something, or have a job that I can make some side cash on. And the athletic department basically said, no, you can't do that when you're a student here. You can't, you know, and I just remember thinking, well, that just doesn't seem like they should be able to do that. And you know, and for the reason, and for good reason, I guess, back then, right? They did, you know, you would have a quarterback showing up to a car dealership and making $50,000 for showing up one time or something, right? Where you know, things would get really shady quickly. Obviously,
that's what we're looking for, though, dude. Football shady business. It's a bunch of meat missiles going out trying to kill each other. Can we at least get a couple of dollars, man?
Well, it is interesting that the SEC seemed to have ramped up their NIL programs a lot faster than everybody else.
Almost like they were already in place.
Already had one going,
they were in place
years.
Since the 90s.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I had no interest, or actually no real thought that I would get involved in this. But I'm friends with people inside the athletic department and the football program. And one of them, when I was playing golf down in Florida, like I said, my role was basically, you know, golf chaperone for Iowans. And they came down, one of the guys came down, and I asked him, you know, what keeps you up at night? And this guy on the football staff, and he says, you know, NIL, I don't know what we're doing here. Everybody else is doing something, and you know, we can't be involved, but we really need a program. And I'm like, well, you know, that was probably a year ago. And then probably another 6-8 months passes, comes back down to play more golf to feed the habit. And, you know, and I ask, you know, I ask a similar question, and I say, hey, is everything, you know, how's the NIL stuff going? And he's like, you know, it's the same group of ex-football players that are looking at putting something together, and they just haven't yet. And I said, well, why don't you just put me in touch with them? Let me get on a phone with them and see if I can't help move things along. I mean, I love the Hawks. I've run a business, and know a little bit about how to put things together, and maybe I can help them a little bit. And I was just hoping to just help, right? Just, you know, give them some guidance, then, you know, fade into the woodwork. And so I was on a couple of phone calls, and next thing you know, somehow or another, I've got the keys to the castle, and I'm the only one that wants to be on the bus. And so all of a sudden I just said, well, I guess I'm going to make a go of this. And, you know, I'm not going to let it fail. This is going to be a very successful endeavor for Iowa athletics.
Gotta love when you just volunteer to help and they just end up giving you all the responsibility.
That's exactly what happened. I was hoping to just maybe, you know, give some guidance, help point people in the right direction. And next thing you know, you're perfect for this, Brad. Go get them. I'm like,
yeah, you said you wanted to help, right?
Yeah, right. I'm definitely that at this point.
Help us get
in. I'm the head cook and the chief bottle washer.
So I'm curious. They give you the keys to the castle. Do you have any idea what you're doing at this point? Do you suddenly go, oh, crap, I got to look into what these other collectives, how they're structured, how this all works. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's
the mind? Oh, I know. Yeah. That's exactly what I did. You know, a lot of research, a lot of, reading. And you know, I came around to, really an approach that's similar in some ways, different than others. I think will mesh well with Iowa. We've got really two separate entities set up, and there's two kind of functions. The first one, it's all under this concept of the swarm. And you guys, I don't need to tell you what swarm
great concepts
are. You have the idea.
We're big fans of the concept.
Yeah. So,
and it couldn't work better too, because this, you know, the idea of the swarm is a large group that's working together, and that's
the only way it's going to be successful is if we have a large group come together to make it successful. But this approach, I set it up as a 501c3 corporation, nonprofit, which to those out there who don't know what that means, just basically means that we're not in this to make money, and where the money that's donated to it will be tax deductible to the donor. That's Ooh. Huge.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Drake writes a $100,000 check. He makes $1 million a year. You know, then he's only paying tax on 900,000, right? I mean, that's just the way it goes.
All of a sudden, the walk-ons are now potentially a donor.
No. But we would love your money.
Do you have any laundromats by chance, Brad?
Hey, I heard those make a lot of money. Those and car washes too.
Breaking Bad.
Anyway,
I got something I need to clean.
So this entity, the strings that are attached to a 501c3 where donations are tax deductible are that the organization itself must be doing work for charity. Okay.
Okay.
So imagine it this way, that people donate a bunch of money. I go to the football guys and I say, all right, guys, you have the ability to earn up to $1,000 a month, hopefully, under the Swarm Collective. But in order to earn that money, you're going to have to do some stuff and not just be quarterback, not just be, you know, the star of the secondary, you know, like Kevin. You got to be.
Excuse me. Our Kevin?
Kayvon, yes, maybe Kay.
Yeah, Kayvon. Yeah. I believe Kayvon is who you're talking
Kayvon,
about.
Kayvon, right. Yeah, okay. Point is, though,
easily mispronounced.
Hey, same have, number, you, man.
It's okay.
We can see it all the time. Hey, I can see it now.
He's like, he's not going to be offended. I doubt he's going to listen to this. But maybe
you guys are very similar in appearance, to be honest.
I can see it now. We make a shirt, walk-on shirt. It says Kevin, and then it's got a red line through it, and then it says Kayvon with a little asterisk on it. Like, oh, autocorrect.
Like you put an A above it and like an arrow in between.
Right, you could turn Kevin into Kayvon. Yeah.
Anyway,
So I don't even know where I was going. Okay. So what I was saying is that each one of the guys on the team has the same opportunity to earn the same amount of money, but they're going to have to do something for charity. So it could be that they're signing autographs in front of the United Way or at the United Way for an hour. They make however much money, all of the autograph, the people that come there pay for the autographs. All the money goes to the United Way. Okay. We pay the student athlete for being there. All of the proceeds that they earn for signing autographs go to the charity, something like that. Or it could be the University of Iowa hospitals and clinics. Point of the matter is I want this to be a win-win-win all the way around. I want this to be a win for Iowa football and basketball, the student athletes, I want this to be a win for the community. If we can raise more money for charity than's ever been raised before, and at the same time reward our student athletes for their name, image, and likeness, that's a worthwhile endeavor as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we like the sounds of this.
Yeah, so that is the and what's interesting is the walk-ons, okay, this may hit close to home.
This podcast or the guys that are actually paying money to play for them right now?
The walk-ons have the same opportunity to earn the same amount as Spencer Petras. Okay.
And you see, you're saying the walk-ons, and that's
not you, Drake. Not you.
And I'm just trying to see if we can get some of that Spencer Petras money, Kevin. Shut up. You know, let me work some business.
Well, hey, you know what? If you guys could organize yourself as a charity, we may have something to talk about, right?
Well, here we go. Could we be a middleman for a charity? We have a children's hospital charity fund that we, you know.
Drake, you don't need any of these guys' money.
Drake's just trying to skim money off.
And you know what? It's funny because, Brad, I don't know how many episodes you truly do listen to, but if you listen at all frequently to the last 40, Drake has gaslighted our entire audience into having them believe that I'm actually the scummy one here. And it's now coming out that Drake is the one.
Yeah, I'm a dirtbag.
Yeah. So it's interesting, Brad. So this is a deal where the goal is that everybody, Petras to the third string long snapper on the team, all make the same money.
Yes. As long as they do, if they all do the same amount of work,
yeah,
they'll all get the same amount of money. Now they have to opt into the program. They don't have to participate.
Right.
And it's the same for football as men's basketball and women's basketball. So they'll all have the same opportunity. Now, having said that, I've got this second arm of this. It's a different corporation all under Swarm. Okay.
And this is where we launder the money.
This is no laundering going on. This is where you know, the market hopefully will reward the Spencer Petrases of the world over the third team long snapper. So let's say a car dealership wants Spencer Petras to do three or four commercials for him.
Yep.
Through this organization, we hook Spencer Petras up with the dealership. You know, we help them negotiate, you know, help him negotiate the best deal. We provide the legal work to make sure the contract isn't one that he's going to ultimately regret. We, you know, make sure that everything works. They pay us. We end up paying Spencer when he's done. We help him withhold the right amount of taxes because, you know, guess what? You know, this is going to be the entree into the world of taxes that these guys have probably never
been part of before. The IRS is licking their lips at the idea of a bunch of college kids getting a ton of money that they don't know what to do with. They're just absolutely feasting on the idea of putting these dudes in bankruptcy.
And so what we're going to be doing is withholding the money so that they won't have a tax obligation come next April.
Heads up play.
Trying to prevent them from being in a bad way. Now, I'm sure when they get they think they're going to get a check for $500 and it comes in a whole lot less than that. I'm sure there's going to be, whining and complaining.
But they would think next April.
Yeah. So there's your two separate entities trying to, you know, help the stars get paid on one end, but also try to provide a base amount of opportunity for each student athlete in football, men's basketball, and women's basketball.
Okay. I want to pop in real quick and tell you boys and girls about DRF Sports. You guys know recently I announced that I am expecting my first child with my wife, and evidently this little guy or girl is going to just immediately take over one of the rooms in our house and process pushing me down to the basement. So that's where I'm recording this from. And the kid's going to be expensive, right? And the boys at DRF may be just straight up keeping me in business here. It may be keeping this podcast alive by sponsoring the show, bringing gambling, responsible gambling, and not just responsible and fun gambling to you, sports betting, but sports betting that can be backed up with analytics numbers, and education about how to get in the game and feel comfortable doing it. DRF Sports, for those listening around the time of this episode, we're going to be out at the State Fair. More details to come on that. They are all about the walk-on army. You've seen us interact with them on Twitter. DRF Sports, they're Iowa's sportsbook. They're the walk-on sportsbook. They should be your sportsbook as well. Go to ia.drf.com and start making some green today. And then if you win that green, maybe donate to the Swarm Collective. Huh? Also want to talk to you about the people at AdCraft in Clinton. They are incredible. You guys are about to experience one of our flash stores from them, the fall season collection. And we've got some new designs that are coming out to you guys. We've got some fresh pieces of clothing that the walk-ons have yet to debut. And we're going to have you nice and ready and all cleaned up to enter Kinnick Stadium so that when the Hawkeyes take the field, you're in the stands or maybe back at the tailgate, who knows, looking fresh in your washed-up walk-ons merchandise brought to you by AdCraft. It's a process that it's a relationship like no other. I tried to make that like the Masters. It didn't work. AdCraft, they've been doing our merch. You guys have heard it. They can do your merch as well. They can do a team. They can do a group of people from the office. They can do a group of employees. They can do a family reunion. If you just want to make shirts to make yourself feel better about something or you have a funny idea, hey, maybe you want to try and start a little side hustle, huh? You're like, dang, I think I've got some creative ideas. You may be good with some art. You can create your own stuff. Even if you aren't, you can have their art team help you for super cheap. And then all of a sudden, what do you know? You got a store of your own selling merchandise that feels great on the skin and looks good to the eyes. AdCraft, helping the boys out and helping you out as well. If you need it, shout out to them. Now, let's get back to learning about the Swarm Collective.
So it's basically what the Swarm is, if I'm understanding this correctly, is it's a tool by which both boosters and donors and any sort of business can use to, funnel funds towards student athletes, whether that be for a charitable cause or whether they actually want to work with them on a NIL basis.
That right. The businesses can employ them to help further their brand. Donors can donate to the Swarm Collective and they'll get more access to the student athletes than they've ever had before. There's some pretty cool benefits. We're going to have a television show. We're going to do some really fun things.
Love that.
And, so the donors will have more access than they've had in the past, but at the same time, that money hopefully will go to the student athletes in exchange for them doing work for local charities, which, hey, that could be really cool. Other schools
right there
tend to just, some of them just tend to funnel money to the kids. And one of the reasons I'm involved is because I don't love that as much. I think Iowa will hopefully get behind this concept a lot more than the other.
I know we're still in our infancy here. Where do you see most of the money coming in, going towards? Do you see it coming towards those NIL deals, or do you see it just boosters writing a check to the Swarm Collective for that work for charity stuff?
I think if I was to bet, I think initially it's going to be more the latter. I think it'll be boosters writing checks to the collective, tax deductible donation. These kids can make a decent amount of money either in season or out of season. I think ultimately there will be more. You'll see more of corporations or local businesses getting more interested in having student athletes advertise for them. I think that's still in its infancy, trying to figure out
that's just also how probably gonna be fewer and farther in between with
how
certain
much
characters,
right? How much is Spencer Lee going to drive revenue for my business if I employ him to make a commercial?
A lot.
It's a fair question. He's fantastic.
How much
he deserves every bit, but what is that? What's my return on investment by hiring him to do that? I think that once that catches on, it might do well. But I think that there's some hesitation, not necessarily with Spencer Lee because he's already got, I think, deals in the works. But I think there is a level of hesitation on that front. So there could be where I think the kids will make money early on that second component. Is on apparel. They may, make a t-shirt that has Chris Murray on the front and say, I'm the best twin or something like that. I don't know what we would say, but and then they sell that and then he gets a piece of every t-shirt that's sold with his name and likeness on it.
Now this isn't officially tied to the university, correct?
In fact, it can't be.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah.
It cannot be. And that's the current law. It seems ridiculous, right? In order for Iowa athletics to be successful going forward, or any athletic department to be successful going forward, they're going to need good coaches. They're going to need good facilities. And I think they're going to need a good NIL program. I hate to say it, but I think that's where we're going, guys.
That's facts. We've been talking about that on this podcast. If you don't have a way to get good players money, then you're not going to get good players.
Exactly. And the part that's weird about that is the athletic department has no control over that last component, right? Mm-hmm. What will probably happen is it will go along. We'll get down the road and there'll be good NIL collectives out there that are doing well, and there'll be ones that are doing poorly. And the ones that are doing poorly, their athletic departments will probably cry like babies and try to get legislation passed so that everything can come in house so they can control everything. Because they used to be good and they used to get good players, but they can't anymore, or they can't keep players on campus because they transfer out to a place where the kids can actually make some extra money in addition to getting a full ride scholarship. I that's where I think it'll probably end up, where these athletes are employees of the athletic department, making whatever they're getting paid. And I mean, that's just where I think it'll ultimately end, but I don't know when that'll happen or if it'll ever happen.
That'll be interesting. I think we can fire people like Drake and Kluver when they're
well,
maybe not Kluver, but Drake definitely would have gotten a pink slip at least once during our 5 years.
What?
I might have gotten one too.
I wasn't even in the hot seat.
Yeah, I was. So tell me this, Brad. This opens up a whole new thing. You're talking about the charitable side, right? That's 115 guys. I mean, I have a hard time believing that someone's not going to sign up for $1,000 a month, right? If you can make that. The quick math on that, by the way, I did it on my phone, is like $1.3 million.
That's just football, though.
And that's just football. Let me keep going. We'll talk about the money, the numbers, the figures in a second. You got the business side, which is going to be a little bit more variable, not as steady. Like everything on the other side is like, all right, this is the monthly amount that if a kid signs up, this is what we're able to give them. It's a little bit easier to streamline that. The business side, you've got all these individual deals that you're working out. You're talking about the paperwork, the contracts, the tax stuff. And now you're talking about collectives who are going to be either good as time goes on, or do well or not do well as time goes on. And in my head, that speaks to, well, you're going to have to be able to market this somehow, right? And so,
that's right.
And so, this sounds like to me that the Swarm Collective probably needs to hire some people, because there needs to be some people who are doing all these specific jobs, a whole marketing team. So what's that look like for you guys?
So I fired two people. Did I miss something?
He said Kluver's
asking for a job. You may not know this, but he's actually upside down on a vacation to Universal Studios. He paid so much more money than what the vacation was actually worth that he's still trying to get out of the hole. And so he's looking, and he's got a kid on the way, and the groceries are expensive. So this kid is
on top of embezzling. Your first mistake is wanting to go to Orlando. That's for us Floridians, that's the armpit of Florida.
The bowl game took us there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's one of the bowl games I probably didn't attend. Orlando was awful. But anyway.
So
I've hired two people. Okay. I figured, you know, as I'm thinking about this, and of course, you know, this is just, hey, I got to build a business here. A non-profitable, a business that's not designed to make money, right? That's different than my other business.
You sound like a smart guy to me, but it just seems like not a smart idea.
I put $100,000 of my own money into this.
I'm not taking a salary.
So there is nothing about this that's like financially beneficial.
For me. You're doing better than me.
I hired
100 beans.
Yeah. Well, it's got to, it, I had to Tyler's point, I have to be able to invest in people, invest in somebody to go out and help me. I've got another job too. And so I hired Scott Brickman, who was a fundraiser for Iowa Athletics through the foundation. So he's got a lot of relationships with big donors and medium and small donors. So he's, you know, he also knows everybody inside of athletics.
That's good.
So that made a lot of sense to me, as opposed to just hiring generic Joe sales guy, right?
Yep.
Somebody who actually has relationships and has been raising money for Iowa Athletics in the past. So I hired him, and also hired Jane Oswald, who is also from the Iowa Foundation. They don't like me right now, probably. she was basically director of events and engagement for them. So her job has been to set up all sorts of events. Well, what do you think I need? You know, to start with, I need someone who's going to raise money, and I need someone who's going to plan events for these student athletes to be able to earn their money. Right. So that's where I started. We're talking to the marketing department at Iowa, looking at student interns, people that want to work for cheap or nothing, to try to help us from a, you know, from a marketing standpoint. I'm a social media idiot. And so, you know, figuring out how to blast this across the interwebs of the world is something that probably somebody else should do as opposed to me. But you're right. It's the marketing piece is going to be huge. We have a logo. We had a press conference. I don't know if any of you guys noticed that.
Saw that.
Kirk Behrens, Brand McCaffrey, and Lisa Bluter were all present for that. So they're supportive, which is nice. And so we got a fair amount of press there, but the average fan needs to learn about this. Because if we don't have the average fan on board, this thing will probably not be very successful because we're not going to be able to make it float just on, you know,
we're running a presidential campaign right here. We need average Joe donating $20 and we need to be selling $5,000 plates at, exclusive dinner with the candidate, right?
Well, we're doing both of those. I mean, if you go to iowaswarm.com, you can sign up as a member and pay $19.58 a month, or up to $1,000 a month, or pick another number. It doesn't matter. And you'll get, you know, you'll get benefits for that. We've gone around and talked to some of the local restaurants. You become a member, you'll get 10% off your check when you go in there. You know, to a lot of the, I think Gray's has signed up and several others. You know, not a bad idea to get the businesses involved, but you're spot on. We have to be able to create awareness. One, that this is important. Two, that we're doing it the right way here at Iowa. And, you know, it's the whole, what's the phrase? Do it the right way and graduate, or something like that.
Most notably, win comes first. Graduate, win, then do
graduates
it right.
last. But
I was always
right
because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
When in doubt, look about. Right, I got it. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at.
It sounds like you need more than two people.
Oh, for sure. But here's the thing: what we ultimately we will. But. You know, I also want to run as lean of an operation as I can, so that when someone's donating money, they're not donating the salaries, right? That will come as we grow, but I have to be careful. You know, I can't just have a salary of 4, 5, 6 people, and then I have no money to give out to the student athletes. Otherwise, I'm losing on my mission, right? Sure. So that's it. It's in its infancy. for sure. But I think we've got a good infrastructure. We've got two really good full-time employees that are working on this. We have the support of the coaches. Now we just need the Hawkeye fans to get involved and support us.
Well, you came to the right place.
I think so.
What's been the appetite from, you don't have to say real numbers out there.
Give us exact
figures. What's the appetite been from boosters and donors that you've already talked to so far to get involved?
I'm meeting, we're eating.
No, that's good. That's good. Good question. It really depends. I think the appetite in general has been strong. It helps that the coaches are in favor of it. There haven't been any donors come in and say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to give you $1 million." All right, that would be nice. That would make things a whole lot easier. But we have gotten several 5-digit donations and 1 6-digit donation. And in addition to mine,
that's you know, bigger than I was thinking.
That's okay. We're probably sitting on, $400,000 or so that's come in so far, which
is a month into the operation. That's all right.
We're a month in, not quite a month in. We're doing okay. We got a long ways to go. I mean, I think when this thing is really successful, I think you're looking at, we need probably 6 to 10 million annually.
That was gonna be my follow-up question is what are your goals and like what do you think
that's a lot of money, dude.
I'm aware. Well, I dream big.
Hey, you're a money guy. Don't let us tell you that
it may be impossible.
We've got a billionaire coming on the podcast, so anything's possible.
Actually, we might be able to swing some donations.
Hey, listen, as soon as he was talking about it, I was thinking, like, well, I mean, I was about to drop the ball there, but the guy I know to be quite a charitable gentleman, been a fan of his for quite a while. So maybe we,
that'd be great. Unfortunately, we don't have Phil Knight as an alumni here or Bill Gates or somebody like that.
A couple of rich dudes though. I don't know if you know this.
No, there are,
Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton would be great. Love to have him support us. So, to get back to your question on goals, I think that I would love it if we got to a point where we could be giving $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month to these kids. They're going to be doing they're going to be doing a hell of a lot of charitable work.
Yeah. Is that just on the fundraising for the charitable side of things?
Charitable side. The other piece,
not even including,
let the market, my thought is on the market piece is I'm going to have a hard time really. I can't dictate what the market is. Right. I don't know if Heartland Express, for example, really is interested in having, a student athlete market for them. They may or they may not. I can't really control that. I can ask the question. I can try to promote the idea, but that's a piece that I don't have a lot of control over. Hopefully though, on the collective side, on the charitable side, we can get it to where, a student athlete can be looking at Iowa and going, if I go there, we're not going to get paid to go there, but we know that once we get there, whether I'm third team or first string, I'm going to have the opportunity to make more money in addition to my, with my free ride in addition to my scholarship, or it could be that they're a walk-on and this amount of money pays for their school.
Let me tell you, wouldn't have been nice.
It has the opportunity, I think, of essentially strengthening the bottom part of the roster for each of these programs, right?
This is the floor.
Yep. You can get a full ride at a smaller school and you go there or get nothing. But when you get to Iowa, you're going to get the NIL piece and you're basically like on full scholarship. Mm.
Talk to me, Brad. Much.
Now on the market side of things, one of my follow up question is, will the Swarm Collective, will that work as sort of like an agency too, to kind of like feel out like potential businesses, like kind of, reach out? It's like, hey, is anyone interested in doing a deal?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. That's our goal there for sure, is to reach out to all the local businesses, statewide businesses, see if they have an appetite for it. We've already had some already reach out to us, which is cool. and you know, got some deals in the works. But yes, that's the idea there, is try to market for them, help set up the deal, kind of make it easier for the corporations to engage a kid. You know, if you think about, you're being in corporations, like, it'd be great to have Chris Murray do a commercial for us, but how the hell how do I get a hold of Chris Murray?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was just going to say, what is that process look like? And do you have an idea, sort of like a brainstormed, you know, whiteboarded out process, step one to step 10 of, here's a company, they approach us, we have already gone in and set up with the teams. Hey, here's my contact. I'm Brad. You may get a text from me that says so-and-so company is, you know, interested.
You're onto it. I mean, that's okay. Essentially it. You know, there's going to be, they'll have an app. You know how these kids are all on the app.
Okay. So right? You do have an app.
We've got an app.
Love it.
And so they're going to sign up through the app. They're going to get paid through the app. They're going to sign up for events through the app. But a company contacts us, we'll contact the student athlete, ask if they have any interest. You know, if so, then we'll arrange for some sort of meet and greet with the organization, virtually or otherwise, depending upon the logistics, help negotiate the deal for them if they want help, make sure that the contract's not something that would put them in a bad way. Also make sure that, you know, they're not signing a deal with an organization that might reflect poorly on this person.
Sure.
Or not. Yeah, probably not a good one. I wasn't going there, but you went ahead.
I was just naming. I was seeing if what that was
like. I was thinking more like Budweiser, Drake, but you know. Like,
yeah, either way.
I think that's the right way to go about it. Is, I know obviously the student athletes aren't obligated to work with you.
No, they're not.
I can't see why they wouldn't, but I think it's good for the program. And I think the coaches are definitely a big fan of having just all under one roof, not their roof necessarily, but you know, they're familiar with you. They know, know you.
Well, they know I'm a Hawk and I'm trying to look out for Iowa's best interest.
Exactly. And you don't have to worry about 100 guys doing 100 different things with, you know,
And the other part of it, the other part of it is the back end reporting. We handle that too.
Right.
So, you know, part of this NIL stuff is you got to file a bunch of paperwork with the athletic department that discloses everything that's gone on in a certain way. And so we're handling that for the kids as well.
Right. And you don't want like these kids like doing something shady with their uncle and he pretends like something's happening. I don't know. Like,
you're right. You're right.
I think it's good for the kids. It's good for the program to have it all under one roof and try to keep it above board. Cause I know like it's the Wild West when it comes to NIL right now. Right. So I'm sure you've heard some stories about what's happening across the country right now.
I have. Yeah.
And like you mentioned at the start of this podcast, we want to try to do it right.
Well, I've seen a 501c3 like ours. Okay. And being set up and then they're paying a quarterback $1 million. Just that's a hell of a lot of charitable work that quarterback's doing.
Well, that was one of my questions is how do you determine, or is there a way of determining how much charitable work is worth?
Yeah. So you have to figure out what the market rate is for the work that's being done. Right. And
what is their market rate on the stardom? Right. Because
that's the catch, right?
Yeah.
Is that there's that extra premium that should be there for, you know, for a particular individual, right? Or, you know, if you're a student athlete at Iowa, your market rate might be higher than, you know, washed up Brad Heinrichs, you know, that might be doing the same job. Now, is it 100 times more? Absolutely not. Is it 10 times more? No. But is it, you know, is it something where someone could make, you know, a few hundred bucks an hour for doing the work. Yeah. That's you know, you talk about attorneys and accountants and actuaries and what they charge for stuff. Could you make the case that you know, you look at appearance fees for professionals, and you do the research like, you know, we have, and you can make the case that someone could earn $500 in an hour for doing charitable work. Could it be $50,000 in an hour? The market for $50,000 an hour is you're not going to get. It's got to be a president or something.
Who's going to step forward and police you on that? Like, who is there someone that checks you? Or like, if you say, well, yeah, we've got guys. Well, doing...
ultimately it's the IRS, right? So
they can determine.
So the IRS is going to, if the IRS audits us, and I'm fully expecting that could happen, then, you know, we have to be able to open our books and show them everything that we've done. I'll have the every time a kid's going to go do something for charity, there's going to be a contract between the Swarm Collective and the kid. And it's going to say, this is what you're going to do for how long, and you're going to get paid this amount of money for doing it. And we'll show them, and we'll be able to document as to, you know, why it was worth that amount of money.
And so they,
you know, could, if the kid goes, it's hard for the IRS to argue. Let's put it this way.
That's what I'm saying.
Here, let me give you a good example. I have, let's say I have a football player go down and he signs autographs in front of the United Way. Okay. And we're charging $25 an autograph. We got a glossy picture. He writes to whoever, go Hawks, you know, pick your name, puts a number down, whatever else, $25. And he signs 40 of those in an hour. Okay. 40 times 25. We'll call that close to $1,000, right? Okay.
Seems right in my actuarial mind, but sure.
Yeah. So he makes $1,000. We pay the guy $500 for that. He raised $1,000 for charity. Pay him $500 to do that. You know, you can argue that he was well worth $500 from a market standpoint, right? He charged $500, brought in twice that in revenue for the charity. I think I can make that argument, right? Now, if I'm paying him $500 and he brings in nothing, and then we get a whole lot of that, then I may have a tougher argument with the IRS. But the $500 isn't as big a deal. What you're seeing in these other collectives, we're talking about thousands upon thousands that are being paid out for, you know, showing up for a meet and greet.
I was going to say, Brad, you might, and I know you want to do it all above board, but I think you guys might be okay to just slide in at a, you know, a couple thousand, few, you know, 5, 10, because the IRS is going to have their hands full with Nick Saban in Alabama.
Well, right.
My question is, say the IRS does audit you and they find some stuff they don't like, who's footing the bill for when the IRS says, this is...
I have a feeling Brad's going to make sure that doesn't happen.
Are some of these other collectives that are maybe not doing things the right way?
Well, ultimately, my name's on this, right? So I'm taking on lots of liability. I'm putting in a lot of hours and...
make no money?
I'm making no money on
that. That is insane, Brad. Yeah, Brad, I hope you understand what you just said. If you run that back and play that for yourself and listen to what you just said, that's insane.
Guy must love the University of Iowa because he said taking on a lot of liability, making no money, in fact, putting in 100 G-bombs of his own, and he took it on as a second job. Brad, you must be insane.
or just a really big fan of Iowa athletics.
It would seem so.
I've done pretty well for myself, guys. I've been very fortunate. And this is my way of giving back, you know?
Love that.
I'm just saying, you know, it's cool.
No. Yeah,
your football coach is like one of the best guys in the world.
He
is. Got to know him. Fran McCaffrey, same thing. I haven't got to know Lisa Bluter well yet, but, you know, by all accounts, she's a great lady.
She's
as well,
a beast.
So,
have you ever played 18 with Kirk?
He doesn't play golf.
Yeah, okay. That's the next question. He's never talked about it before. I don't think he played or not.
I don't think so. Now his son-in-law, Tyler Barnes, has got a serious golf addiction.
I seen him at the Brown Deer Country Club about 500 yards from my house on many occasions.
Yeah. He's always sneaking in golf. he's playing in the Iowa City Amateur right now during football camp. I mean, he's somehow sneaking away.
He don't got to be there.
Yeah, his job's done for the year.
Yeah. Ain't no X's and O's in his job.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're right. A lot of his work's already been done. But
yeah. So here's my next question. How do you have any time for this when you're still running your own business, your original business?
Do
you have a family?
I do.
So do you see them?
I've got two boys in high school, both in athletics. It's really, nights, weekends, even sometime during the day. I'm a pretty busy guy. Busy people accomplish more. You'd be surprised. 24 hours is a long time in a day.
Grinder.
And so
absolute grinder here. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah. This is fun. And I've got two full-time employees as well. So
it's true. Here's my next question. You're Cav, you go. I'm taking.
Did you have go ahead. Go ahead.
So women's basketball, men's basketball, football. You were a golfer in college.
This was my question.
Yeah,
The golf team sitting over there like, Brad, hey, what the hell, man?
WTF, mate.
That's right. Well, we got to start somewhere. And I figured I would start with sports that actually generate revenue.
That's smart guy.
Where's wrestling at? And why are you taking a shit on your own team?
So wrestling. They've got their own program, right? If they wanted to be part of this, I'd certainly try to help them.
They have their own NIL program.
They've got the Hawkeye Wrestling Club that I think raises money for those guys. And so I think they're probably just expanding.
Sure.
Some of the scope of the services that the Hawkeye Wrestling Club provides. I'm unaware of any other NIL collective though that is paying a women's basketball player. The 13th player on the women's basketball team could get the same NIL opportunity out of the charitable trust as, a
Caitlin
starting quarterback for the football team. And so this is going to hopefully be a big thing for the women's basketball program.
That is huge. But your goal would be to eventually
expand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
But we're
several million from that. Right.
Right. Right.
Right. So here's my follow-up question. That is, are you hoping to first increase the amount you can pay your current sports before expanding to other sports or?
Yeah. I want to be the best NIL program in the Big Ten before we move to other sports.
Yeah.
Obviously I've got big dreams here.
You don't have to answer this, but I'm just thinking in my mind.
Go ahead.
Who is the last team to get paid right now? You don't have to answer that.
Somebody's got to be last, dude.
Somebody's got to be last. Well, let's put it this way. Whoever that last team is will be pretty happy to be last. That's right. That's more than they've got right now.
It's true. It's the women's rowing squad, by the way.
Or is he just gonna?
It won't be men's golf. I bet you. I'll tell you that.
Let's go.
I was gonna say maybe it is golf because then he can just actually foot the weight of it.
Yeah. Well, I've been helping out men's golf for a while, so
we got a solid squad. No,
we do. We do. Yeah.
I love it, Brad. Tell me before we let you go, because you're obviously after learning about this, and thank you so much for coming on, because I think. Hopefully you coming on this show, especially as we get closer to football season here, a lot of people are picking us back up because they want to hear us talk about football season predictions, right. Weekly games. Hopefully this gets in the ears of people and people can start to help out.
My hope as well.
You're in this space now. So you said 6 to 10 million annual, right? How do you know? And what have you heard from, because we've seen, and I'm sure you've seen them too, like the Miami quarterbacks getting like $9 million a year or something like, so how do you know what's the right amount, and how do you know when to how do you know any of that?
Well, I would answer your question with a question. How do you know that what you're hearing is really true?
That's a good question.
It doesn't need to be reported.
Tax slips, dude.
You think about it and you'll hear, I hear the coaches talk about how some kid says he's been offered X X hundreds of thousands of dollars. Is there, you know, how do you prove that?
If I was a recruit, that's what I'd tell the coaches.
Right. How do you prove that? You know, is that just a, that could just be some kind of negotiating ploy.
True.
You know, I did hear that I think it was Ryan Day that might have come out and say that they needed, was it 13 million bucks for their football team?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. I can't remember the exact number, but it seemed like it was like that number.
How nuts is that? Just think about that statement, you know, 5 years ago, that's just not even in the realm, or 10 years ago. And all of a sudden he's saying, yeah, man, I need 13 million bucks to pay my players or else they're going to go elsewhere.
Isn't that crazy? I will say that, it's one thing that's been nice in talking to the coaches is that they're all more interested in rewarding the kids that are on campus rather than throwing money at kids to show up.
Love that.
And that's nice. And frankly, at least to this point, I don't think that it's hurt us on the recruiting trail that much.
No, our recruiting is getting better than it used to be.
Seems to be helping.
Yeah. So anyway,
what a crazy industry to get yourself into.
Well, you got to do something to spice things up. I'm an actuary. My God.
Well, yeah, you're right. You're right.
I'm dealing with mortality on a daily basis, but predicting when people are going to die. Come on, you know.
What's the best you've ever shot golf?
Best I've ever shot?
Best round ever? Best round in your life.
Probably not very good. 64, probably.
I shot 64 on the front nine when I went out 2 months ago.
I beat 64 in mini golf.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. It's been a while since I've done that. But
what Big Ten school has the best course?
Oh, that's a great question. I was always partial to Ohio State's the Scarlet course. I thought that course was amazing and tough at the same time. That there have been some improvements to courses since I was in school. So I don't know who has the best course now, but if I had to just, you know, to rank them, I think Ohio State's course is pretty darn good. If it was good enough for Jack Nicklaus, it's good enough for me.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Follow-up question. Have you ever played Vanderbilt's college course?
No, but they were one of my five recruiting visits coming out of school, but they didn't have an actuarial science program. So I picked Iowa.
Losers.
Yeah. Right.
What were the other Iowa, Vandy? Who were the other three?
Iowa. Let's see. Iowa, Vandy, Purdue, Notre Dame. Yeah. Who was the last one?
Stanford.
I wish. No, they didn't want me. I wanted to go to Oklahoma. Who was my other one?
Where are you from?
I'm from the Kansas City area.
Okay.
It was Missouri. Home state. Had to, you know, give them some lip service.
And what took you to Florida?
The
weather and golf.
I got to be about 30 years old, working at a big actuarial firm, and I thought I had all the answers. And
got tired of paying income taxes, state income taxes. Right.
In Texas. And what happened was I talked my wife into buying out a small actuarial firm in Fort Myers, Florida. Took a loan out of the 401k, wagered everything I have, and then some to buy this small actuarial shop.
I threw it all down on black.
I pushed all my chips to the center. And it was probably one of the best decisions I've made.
Guy put it on black and it hit, baby. Let's go.
How was the
I'd like to think it wasn't all luck, but I've been fortunate.
How was the electricity, you know, in the house, in the everything in life when it hit?
The electricity.
I gotta know when you're all in with your life funds.
He means the excitement.
I will tell you that, it's not that hard to get out of bed in the morning to go to work to bust it. I'll tell you that. But I will tell you the best investment you can ever make is in yourself, guys.
Let's go.
You can go after it. You know, that's
second best investment is the Swarm Collective, though. So people,
the second best is the Swarm.
Bet on yourselves and then bet on the Swarm.
IowaSwarm.com. IowaSwarm.com.
How did you get that, by the way? How is that not already a website?
Iowa Swarm?
Yeah.
I don't know. I tried to get just swarm, and that someone else had that. I don't know if you guys have already heard, but people are making fun of us because I like Swarm Collective. If you go to like swarmcollective.com or something like that,
sure.
It's a website from the UK where it's Swarm stands for over there. It stands for sex workers, advocacy, retaliation movement. Okay. So, you know, people are already writing about that. Like, you know, there's some, you know,
another great place to give you
money. No, you know, so I've already taken a beating for that. So don't go to that website. Go to iowaswarm.com.
iowaswarm.com.
Give us money.
I mean,
it's a tax deductible donation, everybody. Tax deductible.
It's an investment. You deduct your taxes. You get better players in the door. You throw some money on the Hawks. They hit, they cover, and you come out ahead in the end.
The community comes out ahead too, Kevin.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, that
follow awards winners for that.
And then afterwards you go patronize one of our local establishments, get 10% off your bill. Come on.
Brad, you sound like the kind of guy who is the right guy to lead this, honestly.
Well, I don't know that I am, but I'm at least at this point, I'm the only sucker.
I was going
to
say,
you sound like a lunatic, but hey, all the best to you.
I appreciate you guys. I reached out to you, and begged my way onto your show.
No.
This is really an easy podcast to get on, Brad. I don't know if people are like,
I really appreciate you having me for sure.
We, I was at the same time that you reached out, Brad, I was reached out to by multiple people that said, hey, Brad Heinrichs is the guy who started this. You guys should have him on to be an interesting conversation. And at the same time, I was organically myself thinking we should probably have anybody trying to make money for the guys on the show. So,
and that's it. There's nothing in it for me other than just their success. I want Scott and Jane, my employees, to be successful. I want Iowa Athletics to be successful. And I want the community to continue. That's it.
Legendary.
Good guy, Brad.
Love it.
I don't say that very often.
Yeah, because he's got a friend that's not a good guy.
Come down and play golf with me, guys.
Oh, there.
Say less, dude. Say less.
Yeah.
What's the home course down there?
Colusa Pines.
Colusa Pines. All right.
Iowa hosts a probably one of the best, if not the best, collegiate tournament in the country at my club.
Wow.
I help put that on too.
Let's go. Of course you do. Hey. Would have guessed. iowaswarm.com. Go now. And you guys are making money. Help the guys make some money. You just listen to
how deductible. You got to pay your taxes anyways. Might as well pay it to the players.
And honestly, when you just listen to how hard Brad's working, they deserve it. He deserves it, even though he's not getting anything.
He's not making any money.
Right. iowaswarm.com, episode 340. Brad, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
It was a pleasure. We appreciate your hour. And to the listeners, we will be back on Thursday. Hope you enjoyed the show. Until then, peace.